You're lucky. You know, I think shit is gonna get a lot worse out here. But you're already dead, so no way to make everyone jealous of you one last time. I'm sorry for what we did. Who knows? Meeting you could be the reason why we survived the winter, so thanks.
Buzz, 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 buzz. No, buzz, buzz, buzz.
Buzz.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
I don't buzz till the end. That's all I have to say about the buzz.
All right. Welcome back, Yellow Jackies. Jack Andy here, joined with Jackie Rachel and Corey from the You Don't Know Jackie crew. We're doing Yellow Jackets podcast, talking all about Showtime's hit show Yellow Jackets. It's season 2, episode 3, Digestif. How do you say it, Jackie Rachel? You said it fancier than I did.
Digestif.
Yeah, I guess that's what I said. Let's start off a little here. I was just going to talk about Coach Scott. They have a little bit of a whole storyline throughout the episode of him. And because I already know Jackie Rachel, I was probably thought like by the end of this episode, he would be dead. I think when she was watching is my assumption. And she was probably like, I told you he's not long for this. I can't even believe he's still there. Like, I've been saying this and saying this. Am I right or no?
Well, what are the flashbacks? So you think he's going?
Well, don't. Yeah, I thought he was going to make it. Be dead. I didn't think he was going to make it out of this episode. And I thought you were going to be like, I've been saying.
Well, why?
He's been on borrowed time.
Why?
Wait. What do you mean, why? You've been saying every episode, you've been saying you didn't, can't believe he's still alive. What
makes you think?
Look at him.
Wait, he's struggling because he's hungry and he wouldn't eat Jackie.
Yeah, a little bit. And he's like going like through his life, his choices he made. Can't believe it. Like looking back his like last memories. I mean, I don't know, unless something happens. I mean, he does not look good. Yeah, we see him with Paul. Paul's getting ready for a chowder fest. For some reason, that's kind of weird now.
You
know,
yeah. Put human in your chowder.
No. Come on, Ben, what do you think? Who does that? But yeah, Paul really wants, like, I mean, kind of what Ben was telling Natalie, like, you know, that he wanted the relationship with him and everything. He was like, wants him to move in, move to the city, whatever. And real life, Ben chose to stay as the soccer coach, not move, like, play it safe, whatever. And as it goes along, you kind of see this, like, wish that this version played out, that instead of getting on the plane, he went to Paul's and said, I was going to get on the plane, but I couldn't do it. I want to live my life with you. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's all about the idea that Paul wants him to be his true self, be out. And Ben still has the fear of the acceptance of being an outwardly gay man. And, you know, at that time period where the homosexual lifestyle wasn't as accepted.
What time period? The 90s?
Yeah,
Jackie Rachel, don't talk about like the 90s.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, don't ask, don't tell. In the military, only was like maybe a
but
year.
It was Jersey, yeah. So progressive. One of the most progressive states in the country. I would argue.
Well, listen, we covered Real World Homecoming, and we saw in the original New Orleans Real World, right?
Was he from Jersey?
No, but like Danny was dating. Was he dating? Was that guy's name Paul?
I think so.
Oh my God. So weird. Crazy. But yeah, it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the it was, and that was in 2000, wasn't it? So same time period. It's still, you know, there. While there's probably a lot of people accepting, it's still not. I mean, even today, what did we see on the news the other day? Blocks away from us, hate crime, right? Didn't we see that, Jackie Rachel? So, you know, the 90s?
I don't think until, I might be wrong, but I think it was like mid, early 2000s when, you know, gay marriage was actually officially allowed, you know, allowed in the
2015. Country. It was legalized June 2015.
Oh, wow. So it's even, even later than I thought. But yeah, so I mean, I do think it's an, like, one of the things that this show, I think, does really well is allowing the exploration of these people's sexuality to come out. And especially being in the wilderness, I think a lot of them feel more safe on actually showing their true feelings. I thought it was really interesting, the dynamic of what's real and what's not on that first version of Ben remembering his past, and the idea of the fact that, like I said, Paul wants him to go and be his true self. And then, like you said, this the fantasy version of him making that decision to move in and actually accept his what he really wanted might could have saved his life, or more than likely could have saved his life.
Oh yeah. But I wonder if you would have had like some kind of like, you know, guilt with associated with that.
You're like monsters, as he calls
like, them. Yeah, I was like, I thought it was funny that they already referenced the girls as monsters. I mean, he's hallucinating the girls. I think the one yellow jacket's name is Jen or something, like eating him, right? Like getting hungry and starting to like have like rabies or sat like, you know, at the mouth.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it took me, I know that you don't want to look ahead sometimes or names of the episode, stuff like that. But I went onto IMDb and I'm like, who the hell is this girl who's foaming at the mouth? I'm like, randomly, we just see this girl who, I mean, I guess apparently she's been in the background for the whole time. Mm-hmm. And even in season one, she just was yellow jacket number two or one or whatever it was. But now I guess she's.
No, yeah. Well, yellow jacket number two is somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, if you really went on IMDb like I did, you would have seen that.
I looked too fast.
But this was Jen with a G, it looked like.
All right.
Did you see that, or you couldn't find it?
No, I found it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's what it was. Should I have let you try to say it? Like, did you? Is that what you? The same information you gathered?
You mean Gen?
Are you pretending like that's what Corey would say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I have? That's what I wanted to see. Like, should I have waited? Like, what did you say when you saw that? Because I was like, oh, okay.
It's probably short for like Genevieve.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, had the same thought. Yeah. But any more to say on Coach? We see later in the episode that Travis goes in to look at him. He's like, are you okay? You seem weird. I mean, he might be dying of starvation.
Yeah.
Or like a hypothermia. I mean, he might be really sick and stuff. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he could have had infection, something got infected that wasn't, I don't know. Misty could have been like, I have a new friend, and been like slowly poisoning him or something.
One day at a time until we get to the end. Yeah.
One day at a time.
Wait, not my joke.
There's so many things. This is it's a reference to Corey singing Single Drunk Female, if anyone wants to check out our Single Drunk Female recast. But also, does everyone get their tickets for Pretty Lights?
I thought we weren't going to talk about it.
Okay. But you started singing. Let's talk about Natalie, and then we'll head back to, before we go over the other stuff in the wilderness. Let's talk about adult Natalie at the commune.
Uh-oh.
What?
She's coalescing.
I don't think so.
She's starting to dig it.
I don't think so. I think
she's going to heal a little bit. Against her wishes.
Okay.
To dig the intentional community.
I think she's trying to get their trust so she can go into Lottie's cabin and, you know, find out what's really going on. So I think this is like, she's wearing her normal stuff, and she is wearing at the end.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like, she put a sweater over her shoulders, not fully on, but it was, the purple's getting integrated. Heliotrope. It's getting integrated into her wardrobe. I don't know.
Anytime somebody gives you, I guess, a free smoothie, which may or not help your libido, I guess you're ready and willing to go and join the cult, apparently, you know, but...
Yeah, they should find some other clothes, too. How long do you want to stay in one outfit? Right?
I mean, I'm guessing that they wash them. I'm thinking, but I mean...
Yes, right, but she... Yeah, well, anyway... Whatever. This is also to the point where you're wondering, Corey, when you're bringing up, like, how long has it been? Like, I don't really think Natalie got kidnapped right away. I feel like that was next day that she woke up. Like, I feel like from season one, we're only 2 days, 3 days out.
Sure, yeah.
But we learn that, you know, Fork Girl, his name's Lisa. We brought up there's antlers on this one cottage. That's Lottie's quarters. And did you see, like, this... blood on the tree? Like, did you see that?
I think I missed the blood on the tree.
I don't know.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's hard to talk about now. Yeah, I don't know because I kept looking back like, what is that? What is that? And it looked how at the end, how the hive looks. But it wasn't Lottie seeing it. It was just there when like Natalie walked past.
I don't know, I must have missed out. That's
but Natalie's going over, like, I guess coalescing, looking at the bulletin board, are there any activities here for me? And that's when Lottie brings her over to those bees, talks about how, oh, once the queen is born, it stabs all the other unborn queens to death. It's not brutal, it's natural. Like, I like how she says, oh, it's perfect for you. She's like, well, it's not brutal. I'm like, what does that mean? You like things to be brutal?
Well, Lottie more than likely is the antler queen. So, I mean, at least that's everything that they want us to think at this point. So mm-hmm. She's the queen. She's the queen bee.
Yeah, because you definitely can say there is something about having control and having power and influence over people that she likes, right? Like, we'll go over to when we go to the wilderness, her, like, I think that's why even when you see teen Natalie thinks that teen Lottie wants her to drink the blood tea. Just as a way of having control. Like, she's like, yeah, sure, you want to keep me safe. She doesn't even believe it.
No, but I think it seems pretty genuine.
Oh, yeah, but me, I don't know, but you could write, I don't think Natalie in teen version or adult version is buying it. Now, let's see this adult version. If you say, is she getting into it a little more? They do this big group circle share, yeah, like we said, Natalie is letting on a little bit of the, you know, heliotrope wardrobe. And, you know, Lottie's like, come on, it's your turn. Close your eyes. Turn your attention inward. Is there anything you want to process with the group? Oh, come here, Lisa, join us. Now, Natalie hurt you. Tell us how that made you feel. What did you feel? Oh, I felt fear and disappointment. And I was just trying to help. Natalie's like, I don't need any help. And then Lottie is like, let's explore your anger. You always say that you let people walk all over you. So she hands her a knife and is like, well, if you feel the need to hurt Natalie back, do it. And then you have this very tense moment. And finally, she just drops the knife and says, gives her a hug. She says, I understand. I forgive you. Maybe Natalie.
Let's be honest here. If that girl came anywhere close to Natalie, Natalie would have beat the living crap out of her. She don't trust anybody. She would have just gone to John Wick, or later on we'll find out Rambo,
and would have kicked the John Wick. Yeah, but then at the end of the episode, all those bees, Lottie had showed like her prized possession. I feel like she goes over there and it's all like they're turned over. There's red. She lifts up the cone, like whatever you call that, the tray, and it's all blood. And that's exactly how the tree looked if you go back. Like, but it turns out it's only a vision.
Yeah, it wasn't actually bloody.
Right. It wasn't killed. But she also has this one of her acolytes that before she hears it as someone saying the same thing that was basically said during the seance about it wants blood, like in French or whatever. Il veut du sang, Like, and that's kind of what they kept saying in the seance over and over when she was like speaking French, right? So she's like, excuse me, I heard that. And they're like, oh, sorry, are you coming for lunch?
Well, I guess quite literally, if there's going to be eating more people, I guess that's an interesting possibility.
But I do think it's interesting, a callback, right?
Yes.
And the wilderness coming back was speaking to Travis somehow, right? In the episode prior. Yet again, let's just go over adult Thaisa because it's going to be so quick. My notes here. I don't know. Hopefully next week we'll see adult Van and we'll get a longer adult Thaisa scene, because it's like Simone's in the hospital. She's half in and out of these hallucinations of what people are saying or not. Like, is Sammy going, is mommy going to be okay? Blah, blah. It turns out the symbols on Simone's hand. And Thaisa's like, oh, yeah, sure, that's for luck. You know, I put that there, whatever. And she's looking at herself in the mirror. I thought this was a good, like, creepy scene, right? When it separates, it's one thing, like, when you get that mirror tie or whoever the other one, the bad one is.
The image in the mirror says, find her, right? Is that what it's?
Yeah. And then she puts the thing like Van.
Right. No, because the audience.
Because Van has spoken to her. Also, because we'll get there. We'll go back to the wilderness right after. Just go over this. Two more things that Thaisa does. Go back to Van, and she talks to the cat. She's like, tells her campaign manager, "You have a car. Give me the keys." Okay, she walks away, calling Jessica Rabbit, aka Roberts. I wonder if she'll get through to her. Or like, what'll happen there? Because I'm assuming she's calling her to be like, yeah, you also found Van. Where is she? And she's going to go see Van. But I did like that mirror scene. I did think it was creepy, like just the music and the like how scary the bad one is. I don't know that we have a name for it. But the bad one did meet Van. Like, Van spoke to the bad one. Van also did speak to Mari. So
okay.
Yeah, case say. Closed. just so different of like if you watch a show like Insecure and you get like Mira Issa, so different than Mira Thaisa.
Okay. Oh,
did you have something to say, Jackie Rachel?
No, it's so loud in this hallway.
Oh,
I really have to go back and finish Insecure.
Oh yeah.
What does that have to do with anything, Corey?
Because I brought up the mirror scene.
I don't understand. What is this? So much traffic in the hallway. Of course. But I needed to be quiet.
I don't hear any.
Can't win. I don't get concert tickets. I don't get quiet. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna have a mental breakdown.
Hi, relax. It's okay. You want direction.
Find her. So I mean, that part of it, you know, that was one thing that did happen out in the wilderness of, you know, Van seeing the bad one wake up and having a whole dialogue of like, can I come with you? If I untie you, you know, okay, we're going, like, where are we going? All right, we're following the one with no eyes, right? And like, oh, okay, that's what you always do. If she lets me, who's she? Is that me? No, Thaisa. So it's like, you're not Thaisa? Who are you? And she just looks at her. She doesn't really give an answer.
I thought that was perfectly cut away when they said that, to keep that mystery alive. So, I mean, there's got to be some connection to
the grandmother.
The grandmother, but as well, the idea that she is, when she sleepwalks, that's how the man with no eyes actually is able to see. You know, she's actually...
Oh, seeing for him?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
I mean, that kind
of... Yeah, except what's with her not remembering that she ate Jackie?
Well, she was asleep. That wasn't her. The bad one did. So now everybody ate Jackie except Coach Ben. Natalie did, everyone. But apparently Thaisa didn't either. But Thaisa let the bad one, right? But yeah, she woke up.
But she wasn't like, oh, I guess she was waking up from sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, the bad one smelt it. Ooh, in the air. Oh my God, they have all like, you see, like, it was so creepy, like Jackie's skeleton hand there. Thaisa freaks out, like, what happened? Somebody ate Jackie. I love it because Van's like, yeah, hello, we did. You did. You ate her face. Like, I don't know. This is not a very tasty.
I'm sure you're going to bring this up, but this was a great episode for one-liners. And
oh, yeah.
There are episodes of this show which I think have the elements of pure horror, but there's other times where this is just so funny, these one-liners. I mean, usually they involve my guy, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. He had a number. We'll get to him later, yeah.
Oh. Whoa. What's
Let's wrong? Save it. Let's save it. We'll come back.
Bite me.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Wow. I think Jeff's the reason you didn't get concert tickets.
Yeah, fuck him.
Oh my god. Team MVPs, once again. Two of them, they make everything better in life.
But do you think, like, if Taisa was actually awake, she claims I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have eaten her. But the fact that, like, even Natalie did, it makes me think, like,
They need to eat. I mean, look at what's happening to Coach Ben.
Yeah. I like that Mari's like, I guess no one wants breakfast. Like, we're all good there. And Natalie then says, okay, I'm going to go take Jackie to the plane. Then when it's warm out, we'll bury her with the rest of them. Like I said, she didn't take any of Lottie's blood tea. She wants to go alone, doesn't need Travis to go with her. And when she gets there, she does give a little, like, you know, talk with Jackie's remains. And like, oh, I think you're lucky. It's going to just get worse. You're just giving everyone one last time to be jealous of you. But like, you know, basically says, thanks for the meal. Might save us, I guess. So like logically, like we're saying, it could be the thing that saves them. It makes them have them able to get through the winter.
Right.
Do you think that animal that we see, the moose, was that real or is that her imagination?
I don't know. And now I've heard in some, it's like a white moose or an albino moose. Some cultures, albino animals are
sacred. Good
luck. Yeah. Or it's bad luck to kill them. But
yeah, you can't kill them. We learned that in Dexter. Hello.
Hello. Okay. So if they were starving hungry still, they shouldn't do it. I mean, she did. No. It was like the moose disappeared. I don't know.
No, they should. That would have been a lot of food, but like, I don't think it was real.
Was there, like, when you heard something, did you think, like, is it Javi?
Yes.
No. I thought it was an animal.
I thought Javi's in the plane. Holy shit.
I know, but I was like, there's no way they didn't check the plane and that, like, he wouldn't have come back from the plane. But I did kind of think, like, and then we probably would have been like, come on, really? How could he have been there? But I did think. He would be like, oh, hey, Nat, is it safe to come back to the cabin?
Are you crazy women no longer trying to eat my brother? What's going on right now?
Run.
They're all on their way to Colonial Williamsburg.
Yeah, which earlier Corey called Woodbury Commons. I said, you're talking about Colonial Williamsburg? Oh, yeah, that.
Oh, my God.
They're equally as exciting, apparently. Let's turn butter. Yeah.
Turn butter? Churn. I churned butter once or twice. Living in... Come on, Corey. Finish it.
In an Amish paradise?
Yep. Teen Shauna, though, is, you know, upset, obviously, with all this happening. She just kind of stares out the window when Natalie leaves with Jackie, and she's telling Lottie how she's scared, right? And
I guess it's a boy.
Well... Yeah, and Lottie.
She just ignores it. She's like, him? She's like, well, you'll need a blanket.
Yeah. Oh, oops.
What's up, Hardy?
Yeah, well, she didn't. Yeah.
Gender reveal. Just Lottie channels the spirits.
Yeah, Lottie. I like Lottie's like, oh, yeah, like, listen, this is what Jackie would have wanted, especially for the baby, right? That you asked to eat her. She says, you're going to be a great mom. Foreshadowing? I'm not sure. That's true. Well, you know, we're all gonna help. It's gonna be beautiful. Let's welcome him. Like, so that's when you get you know, baby shower prep. Do you want to talk about, to like keep going with this wilderness stuff? I guess we're here, right?
I mean, we fully understand that the people who create the show are from a certain generation where we get a lot of Beaches references and now Steel Magnolias.
Yeah. Yeah.
At times I wonder, should I be watching this show? I don't know if I'm the right right demographic for this show after some of the references. I mean, I've seen all these movies because, you know, I'm just the kid of the 80s and the 90s, but...
The 90s?
Well, you're talking about this is like some crazy period piece. Like, it wasn't that long ago.
It's ages ago.
Have you... All right.
Back in the 50s.
Jackie Rachel, have you seen the movie Steel Magnolias?
No.
Did you know what it was before they mentioned it in this episode?
No.
Case in point.
I don't think I've seen it front to back. I've heard of the movie, seen pieces of it. I think I probably saw, if I look it up, I've definitely seen that maybe that scene that Misty did even, or like something near it. Like a hospital type scene. Okay, we'll just talk about though. Look, we found out that Akila has a nephew. I don't know. I was like, it's sad.
Of course, it's sad.
I'd give anything to see him again. I was like, oh.
He's not making it out alive. That was. I think that let us know for sure. She's gonna get eaten at some point.
But they're so creative when they make these things. Mari makes like a. The mobile, I mean, maybe dangerous, but still. Van makes a PTP, right? Like, even when they were getting ready for the doom coming, so creative.
So much and so little.
And now, did you pick up? I mean, Misty and Crystal, BFFs over here.
Possibly more, but if they're braiding her hair, you know, just braiding her hair, I was like, yeah, Crystal wants something more than a friendship. I don't know if Misty's getting the signs or not, but
I don't know. I just think it's weird that like they never connected until now. Like it's like all of a sudden it took one thing and it's like, oh great, like it does seem a little like implausible, but maybe, you know, you never
showed it and no Crystal existed until the beginning of season two.
So. I guess. But they're talking about, oh, they should have like used your broth idea. So were they talking about making Jackie bone broth? Is that what?
I definitely.
Right?
Ew, I did not pick up on that.
Yeah. We need snacks. Maybe, what's a party without snacks? And they were like, it would have been good. Well, not, you know, not good, but I mean.
It would have been good.
It was good. Like then they're acting like it was like eating Jackie was good, right? Like that, like talking about how they liked it. Crystal's like, oh, don't tell anyone, but. That wasn't the first time I ate a human. I absorbed my identical twin in the womb.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
She definitely is a, like, you know, a little like goofy.
She's a little geeking out. Over there. She's like, oh my god, that's crazy.
And then she's like,
she feels seen.
Oh, I know what you can do for a present for Shauna. And that's when you get that Steel Magnolia scene, which if we go there at the beginning, you know, they're like, oh God, it's been, you know, Misty doing this, blah, blah, blah. But did they all like it at the, by the end? I think they did. Brought her in.
They were like, wow. And yeah. she felt seen. It's giving Pearl vibes.
No, I'm a star.
What vibes?
You know, that horror movie Pearl?
No.
With Mia Goth?
Who?
Corey doesn't do Tara.
I did find that funny, though, that they're talking, as she's starting, like, they realize it's about a person who lost a daughter? I'm going, yeah, that's Misty. She's, that's where she would find her inspiration. Like, I don't think this changes anything. I don't think the girls are going to be nicer to her as a result of this or anything. I mean.
No, yeah, that's probably true. But I'm wondering, like, it was almost like she found her calling, like people like this, that you would have thought she would have went into the arts, not nursing. But I mean, she does have that, you know, the first aid element too, that she was helping out with. But when we flash forward later to Misty, when she kind of puts on a little bit of a performance about knowing Adam's mother, I don't know, it kind of like the two things, you know, pretending to be somebody, like I sort of saw a parallel between those two things. And also like this blanket lot, like I don't know how they, you know, stitching. She made the blanket, she put the symbol on it. You have a little bit of, you know, debate on if that's a good thing or not.
What do you think the bloody nose meant from Shauna?
Everything happened at once. So it's like, you get
this. She's stressed.
Yeah, it could be anything. But it happened right when she gets the...
the blankie.
Yeah.
And she sees the symbol and basically her nose starts to bleed.
And importantly, we see that Mari, Akilah, and Misty all say they trust Lottie. That's already mm-hmm. like people to her side. And then all... pew, pew, all these like crows just pelt into the cabin.
Well, yeah, they at least addressed like the iron.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, even though, right. Well, I was talking
about, like,
right,
we should be careful like eating that.
There's a lot of iron in the ground. Yeah, which could be like iron. Yeah, I wonder if it's like iron ore. We're saying if there's might have messed up their directional ability that they all like, you know, flew in here. Another thing to note, I wonder what you guys think of when Misty and Crystal were talking at night and Crystal talks about, like, we're all made of lies.
It's foreshadowing to the what's going to happen, yeah.
To what specifically? You mean everything or?
Yeah, but basically the fact that we can't, like, one, that they're, I don't know if we could really believe each one of these people because they're, based on the trauma they went through, what mm-hmm. we're actually seeing might be true, or if they could even trust each other in the future.
Yeah. And they're really not, like, no one else is giving any mind to, like, calling back Misty, right? Like, everyone's still in their own world. Like, Shauna, they're out to breakfast. Doesn't matter.
Ty is dealing with shit.
Yeah, but, like, Shauna's just out to breakfast. Like, yeah, there's stuff going on, but you could try to, like, call Misty back because you're the most guilty, you know what I mean? What do you want to do, Misty or Shauna? Jackie, Rachel, you get to pick. The adult versions.
Let's do Misty.
Okay.
I think Elijah Wood would like to do Misty right now. That's another subject.
Love them. She's like, you went through all this trouble to track me down.
Can I just want to bring this up. Maybe it was my feed of the show, but I haven't watched like every single thing with Lord of the Rings, but I don't know if this was just a joke because Elijah Wood was in it, but seemed like Misty sounded like Gollum throughout like the most of this episode.
I don't know.
No, I think you're imagining that.
Like her voice.
Hit him.
Yes.
She was trying to be subtle.
Her subtle voice was very creepy.
Well, we have to give a shout out to Corey. He called it right. It was Randy.
Yep.
Our guy Randy. Doesn't know what shoes he's wearing. Doesn't know what the hell's going
Sucks.
On. What type of socks?
I know. How many different pairs of socks? Most people, I mean, you could have an eclectic sock wardrobe, but I commend him for that. But most of the time, people might just have standard socks. I don't know. But yeah, Misty gets to go meet Pudding the Sick in Forensics, aka Walter Tattersall. I guess he lives on a boat. Very cool. Oh, like Bad Sisters, another boat dweller.
So he doesn't wind up naked, about to commit suicide. Yeah.
But he's, well, no, but all the other, like the friend lived on the boat.
Oh, that's right. That's
true. Anyway, so go back, watch Bad Sisters and listen to our recaps if you want to know what we're talking about. But he, whatever, Walter, whatever you want to call him, Elijah Wood, but I don't know. He's just like over the top with complimenting her, the incomparable African Grey. You really have a nose for analyzing evidence. It's unparalleled. And now this, I kind of think is a little weird because he's like, oh, here we go. He's right here. Misty turns as a guy is pointing to the boat to tell Randy where to go. I mean, I'm sorry, but most people can pick up that poodle-haired Misty anywhere, no? Like, Randy didn't see there was two people there and then say, that's Misty?
I mean, I guess you're right, because they did see themselves, they did see each other at the reunion, because they were sitting at the same table, so they had seen each other in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see that. I didn't even think of that, to be honest, when that happened, but...
Well, I don't even think you got a good close-up look. Just a point of, if you point over, it's like, there's two people there. And, like, she has that curly hair that, you know, maybe is more noticeable from a distance, right?
I just thought the chemistry that the three of them had in those, well, the realistic, based on how they did it, I think the chemistry that they had together, I thought was really good. And I know I'm a big fan of Jeff Holman, who plays Randy Walsh. I think he was really good in last season and the limited stuff he did. And I think he was really good in this episode.
Yeah, like, he's
the year and everything. I thought he was.
At first, I really thought he was gonna give give Misty evidence. Yeah, that now she'd be like, "What, Shauna lied to us?" Because he was just a nervous wreck. What do you, a friend? What do you mean? Oh, Jeff? And then like they're like, "Oh God, he's so stupid. What does he think, Jeff?" They don't read that like he's so nervous. And then they bring up Natalie, and he's like, "Oh, he just cooled down. I don't know, Natalie. Whatever. She's probably getting high. She always had problems with drugs."
I love the fact the first thing he goes, parking tickets? The FBI doesn't care about parking tickets.
Yeah. Well, he was clearly nervous and trying to dissuade it. Yeah, then you get the hit him from Misty. And, you know, Walter has to go talk to her and, like, pretend he has IBS.
I do love that gag, the idea. And it's like old Hollywood. We had to go in one door to get through to another door. I thought that gag worked a couple times they did it. And the idea he was going to go, she tells him to hit him a couple of times. He's like,
yeah, it's the only way to get through to him. He made Joe Fazio eat a frog at recess.
Joe Fazio. Let's see. I hope we see Joe Fazio next episode now.
Walter does come out and slaps Randy.
He slaps the shit out of him.
Twice. And then he takes out like power tools. He's ready to be like, listen, the FBI, we're getting, you know. And finally, you know, Jeff's like, no, I really didn't see anything. There was only this weird group like of purple people hanging out. Shout out purple people eaters.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
Yes, the old song here. Yeah. I just thought it funny that we had a Fanta reference.
Yeah.
Do we not think Lottie allows them to drink sugar up there? They went for their sugar fix.
Yeah, is that like his beverage of choice? He's like, oh, the Fanta's gone. What? And they're like, all right, he's not going to be any help. Let him go, right? They mostly think it's a bust. And then Misty's like, wait, the Fanta, maybe they used a credit card for the machine. Okay. I can, you know, I'll look into it. I have certain skills. She's like, yeah, hacking, right? Like they have this little moment. And he admits that wasn't his mother, but he is just, I mean, it might as well have been. He was going to pay for the nursing home, find her a nursing home and pay for it or something.
Where is it?
I don't know. Well, like we said, Misty, it goes on this whole story. I kind of was like, is that believable, especially to tell a hacker? Like, a quick Facebook search, you could probably be like, the mother lives in Texas. How do you know? You know? I mean, I don't know how much I buy it, but, you know, right? He's an addict, and she was so upset. I just want, you know, to get this away. Whatever. But then, you know, she kind of, like we were saying, is like, oh, you did all that to meet me with this, like, why did you do that to go to the nursing home? And he's like, well, maybe I'm a bored Moriarty looking for my Sherlock. But now, I'm not, you know, a Sherlock Holmes aficionado here, but Moriarty is the antagonist, right?
Professor Moriarty is the antagonist, yeah. I mean, some forms, like the Sherlock from the BBC with Benjamin Cumberbatch from a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh. Benedict?
What did I say?
Benjamin?
Oh, whatever. there is this idea that in Moriarty's head, it's almost like it's played more into like that they're two sides of the same coin type of thing.
I'm just saying, do you make it like, is that romantic then? Like he's like, so he's looking for someone to play a cat and mouse game with.
Exactly.
So maybe it's like a role play, like a sexual role play. He's like kind of flirting in that way.
I would think so. The one thing that was interesting that once again, I was wrong on another item of this show, that the compound or whatever we want to call it is in Cherry Corners, New York.
Yeah. See, I tracks for me. I, so I, was kind of thought it was, you know, not too far driving, you know. I mean, New York's a big, you know.
Right. But what's interesting is, so we all think, like, they all pretty much know that Lottie is trouble in different ways. But in the modern day, nobody knows where this place is. I mean, wouldn't you think if they said this happened in Cherry Corners, New York, they would be like, that's where, you know, crazy woman Lottie's is located? I mean.
Oh, like that she would know, right, that Misty. Well, Misty, because she did have a file on everything. So you would think that maybe, but that might have eluded her. Maybe the last she had heard she was in Sweden or what, because, you know.
That's true. Maybe you're right on that.
But. Yeah, maybe she didn't check up on her for whatever reason. But it's true, because she did go find Travis, right? It might have, you know, not been, I don't know, maybe Lottie was next on the list or something. Any other thoughts on Misty or her romance with putting, I like her, the contact info.
I hope they continue hanging.
Oh, well, they're going to. They're probably going to, they're doing a road trip together. Road trip, get the beef jerky. Let's go.
I eat so much beef jerky today.
They should, you know what they should do? They should bring like a case of Fanta as an offering to the purple people.
Well played. Well played indeed.
I thought it was kind of like smooth. I think Misty thought it was like, he was like, oh, let me get your number because of like, well, we have to, you can be in the earpiece and talk to me, but it was also a way to get her phone number. He of course had to have her number though, for all the information he had on her. But now it's not awkward because it's like, well, you know, you put the number in the phone. So now it's an opening. We can chat. It's a meet cute.
She doesn't kill him. But I think.
She's going to kill him. Why would she kill him?
Because he
what
knows.
If he, yeah. He might know too much. But this we all have secrets. Maybe he has a secret.
I mean, let's be honest here. Misty, only reason why Misty even knows him is because she's trying to protect Nat and the other teammates from him. So, I mean, the minute that she thinks he's a liability, I mean, he's going to get maybe the same thing that happened to, as we like to call it, Jessica Rabbit. There is going to be a moment where she basically tests him and we'll see if, you know, he passes the test or not.
All right. On to Shauna.
And so, our guy, Chip.
Yes. So, you know, they're spending a lot of husband and wife time together, just getting, you know, getting breakfast, whatever. It seemed like breakfast, right? And all of a sudden, Jeff's like, it was the strawberry lube. I love the waitress is like, okay, I'll come back later. Like, turns around.
It's for bisexuals and goths.
Yeah. And listen, Jeff messed up. That's on Jeff. He set it up. He set up the whole thing. And she said, you're not fun. It's like, I made the choice right then to be this boring thing. And then you had to go sleep with the artist. Like, he's struggling with this whole affair. But yeah, you don't say no to the strawberry lube.
Agreed.
He's like, that I almost went strawberry. I could have done that almost, you know. It was just sometimes these choices that you make, like Coach Ben deciding to go on the plane. He could have decided not to. Think about that. The sliding doors of it all.
Yeah, I love the fact that she's like, I'm sure it was exciting. And as a result of her, you know, basically the spontaneity, he's like, yeah, all right, we're going to go to Colonial Williamsburg and nowhere. And that's his version of exciting, which I'll be honest, I don't believe I've ever been there, but that does not sound like the most exciting place in the world.
It's where I went for like my eighth grade school trip.
I went as a kid. I liked it, but yeah, I don't know if it's not what Shauna's after when you looked at what she was doing with Adam, I guess, right? But such a funny thing to him to randomly come up with, right? All right, turn off and we're going to Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia. You don't have to even go that far to have a little spontaneity, but yeah, you could see he was just the wheels churning like the butter. And he's just like, how can I be spontaneous? I need to, which also shows he wants the relationship with Shauna.
Loves her more than anything in the world. I mean, it might have started as she was the one who was willing to put out, but he's loved her for 25 years. I mean, I do think it's really interesting that the...
You wouldn't even go for strawberry lube? I mean, come on. We're not talking anything crazy here.
Sure.
Like...
I mean, I think
Shaw... If you're not going for strawberry lube...
I gotta go, guys. I gotta get my strawberry lube. Yeah. I mean, she does say... Shauna says, I didn't know what was going to happen. That was the excitement of it. I think that's one of the reasons why... She was so good at points in the wilderness because, you know, it's basically the adrenaline of actually living. And as much as they might love, you know, Shauna might love him in certain ways, the idea of not knowing what's going to happen next. And even when you saw, you know, when she gets the car back, that the flight fear reaction is basically what drives her to, you know.
Yeah. She wants to feel alive. Yeah, they get caught up in this carjacking scheme, which I could see coming a mile away. I don't know. I was like, oh, this is a setup. It reminded me, well, yeah, like there's like a Last of Us thing where I was like, you know, be like, oh, it's like,
it's a setup. I haven't seen it, so I don't get your reference.
I know.
It might be a little too scary for you, but it's maybe the best show on TV right now. Not saying anything bad about the shows that we review, but. The Last of Us was top notch. Wow.
You also haven't watched Succession, Corey.
From the shows that I have watched, let me rephrase that. I do think it was very interesting that, I know that it may be wrong to say it this way, but the idea of gender roles, she's the one who basically wears the quote-unquote pants in the family, where she takes the initiative to take the gun. She is no fear.
Yeah, well, one thing I'll say, I don't know if that's gender roles. Like, I don't think, like, it's normal for anybody to unarm a gunman. Like, I don't know that that's, like...
Oh, no, I don't disagree on that. But I guess I would say, though, like, if you see most TV shows and movies, and even, like, the referencing...
Well, even though you knew she was spotting it, knew she was going for it. I thought that was so funny. She's got the gun. Don't you dare get in that minivan. And Jeff's like, Shauna, put that down. Like pointing it away so the guy could take the minivan. She's like, I got it. I have to. I'm handling this. Like, and he's, are you Rambo? There's just another great line and delivery too of it. And he's like, why are you going to do this over a really crappy ass minivan? Well, no, my purse. All of our quarters, new cross trainers, and Mr. Smoozums. Listen, the fact that Mr. Smoozums is still in that minivan, there's a problem. What is buried in this minivan? I don't understand. Callie's toy from when she was a child, from 6 years old, just that's where it hangs out, the minivan. Maybe she used to get like car sick, had trouble in the car. What? Why was this in the car? That seems like something you'd have away in a closet or something.
I mean, I think it most likely has. Well, this is the whole type of thing with the show, the fact that all these people have such hard times making relationships and like really figuring out how these relationships are supposed to be handled, that all Shauna wants is, you know, her kid to basically be like almost like 6 years old again, when things were maybe like easier and there wasn't.
I guess, you know, this, but Callie, again, I will still say, like we saw in the last episode, and we didn't see her much this episode, she wants her mother.
Well, you see that as well, where she grabs onto the stuffed animal at the end as well.
She's not like, oh, this is stupid, and tossed out of the bed. No. She likes that Shauna went and brought her Mr. Smoozums or whatever.
Right. One thing I'm going to give, I mean, this, once again, being the guy in the here who mostly says stupid things, but I give a ton of credit to Melody Solinsky and
what?
Hold on, you didn't know what I was about to say.
You said Melanie Zelinsky.
Are we not talking about Ukraine? I'm sorry. my apologies.
Is that what you said? Yeah. Okay. A ton of credit to Melanie Zelinsky.
Her and Warren Cole, I believe it is, who plays.
Yes. Jeff.
Might be screwing that one up as well.
Mm-mm.
The fact that they, in this episode, they both look so, how do I put this, so un-Hollywood, I guess would be, you know, they allowed themselves to go and look, I don't know what the right word is, but they just look like regular people. You know, they've just been worn down by society. I don't know if that makes any sense how I'm explaining it, but I mean, they don't look all like prestige and, you know, the Hollywood image of what the characters could be. And I don't know if that makes sense.
But what are you talking about?
Oh.
They look very ordinary and, like, very down to, like...
Keep going, Jackie Rachel. Keep going. You don't agree? Or do you think, like, most of the people do? I mean, Thaisa looked terrible in her sleep-induced thing the last couple episodes, right?
I just don't get the point. Like, they're ordinary people living in New Jersey. That's what we look like.
It's a very progressive state, too. Well, it doesn't look like they went and, like, got Botox, you know.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, they're wearing...
Wow.
Ratty clothes. I mean, they're not very
like they're
ratty
not, like,
clothes.
They're not like veneers, like shiny veneers and or anything, you know.
Jacqueline,
yes.
Stop coming for me right now, okay? I'm sensitive.
Okay. Well, ordinary or not, I feel like it turned into like a Taken type of movie for the minivan because. Jonna decides to, I don't know, have the car has low jack, finds this chop shop, goes there. I mean, also, it's like, I thought they would have, like, just reported it stolen already by now, but I guess not. I'm here for my minivan. She's got the gun. And it's like, oh, it's one thing to just point that gun, but it's another thing to know how to use it. Ha-ha, you little ordinary housewife, just plain old New Jersey ordinary person. That's when you get that. Well, have you ever peeled the skin off of human corpse? And it's really, you know, skin's really stuck on us. You have to roll it and then pull it, like, just like very like scary. Like you're questioning the guy. Like the guy's probably like, she could be a serial killer, I guess, right? That's possible.
I messed with the wrong housewife.
Well, people are sweaty when you kill them and like they have that look in their eyes and, you know, I wasn't shaking because I'm nervous. It's just shaking because the anticipation of how much I want to do this.
She wanted to kill him so bad.
Yeah.
All about control. Once again, like this is all about controlling her own life. And in these moments,
she loved it.
Yeah.
It was a thrill, the thrill, the excitement, the element of danger. She wants to have, like, public sex or something. Not go to Colonial Williamsburg.
Exactly.
She wants, like, the fear of getting caught. Like, right? Or, like, something bad could happen. Something dangerous. And this guy won't even try strawberry lube.
Strawberry. Oh, strawberry lube.
Just to point out, Jeff, we saw him. Just, you know, like, total, like, ordinary-looking Jersey guy. Pulling iron. It's just in the gym. And him and Kevin apparently go to the same gym. It's funny to think, like, how much these people, like, see each other that often, right? And Jeff goes all aggro on him. Like, I really feel like he could be like, huh, that's a little suspicious, right. You know? Now making it like, why'd you come at my wife? You, like, upset her? Oh, was she upset? Well, no.
Well, I do appreciate the idea of how his, and maybe I'm looking at this all wrong, but his manhood was basically put in question where, like I said, that his wife had to go and protect him in that moment. That the first thing he does is go to the gym to go get a pump on to go.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, yeah.
Feel more like, feel more like a man.
Yeah, no, for sure. 100% agree with you.
And he goes to the bigger guy. He goes, I'm not done with this machine. Like, he's a tough guy.
Yeah. No, I agree. He was definitely, like, compensating for, like, I guess, what the situation that happened earlier. Not that I think it would be smart always to, like, I think the smart thing is, like, take the minivan, you know, whatever, right? Like, oh, sorry. Are we sorry?
Well, it's my job to yawn in the middle of things. I didn't realize this.
It's just so ordinary, you know? Mm-hmm. It's boring. They're so boring.
I'm just like, there's none of that Hollywood gloss on them. They're from New Jersey.
I'm just saying, like, Melanie wasn't wearing any, like, makeup in the scene or anything. She was just very relatable and down to earth. I'm not saying anything bad about you Jerseyans. I mean, you know, it does, you know, built on a swamp, but that's another subject.
But I just don't know what you like expect from them.
I'm just
why? Why would they be Hollywood?
You think like Lottie seems a little Hollywood? Like you see her all her like jewelry and everything when she saw the blood at the end or whatever.
I know that we're going down a rabbit hole of silliness here, but I do. I was giving credit to the actors of showing the vulnerability of not having.
That's their job, Corey.
Okay, I'm going to shut up now.
They're literally paid to do that.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed the Emmy.
They paid them not to get Botox.
I'm sure they have Botox. Tyson definitely has Botox.
But they're acting like they don't. That's the acting. How ordinary they could look. One thing just to point out, a lot of people were talking about, I guess, like because the Tori Amos songs they use and how, you know, he had used that cornflake girl in the first episode. And now in this one, there's the Bells for Her. And I know I kind of brought this up. I don't know if I was said they were like Tori Amos had said, I guess, like a lot of the songs from this album they were on, Cornflake Girl, Bells for Her, and The Waitress. It's like a triad. And like a lot of it represents women betraying women. So it's interesting that they would use those. And I think it did work well with the end of the episode, right? That there's something like ominous coming, and which obviously all these other things are pointing to that as well. Too, Lottie with the visions and everything like that. But yeah, any other takeaways? I do, you know, I'm gonna say we see Van next week, adult Van.
I hope so. We're almost like halfway. It feels like we're like a third or halfway through the season. I hope we see her at some point. I know that
we're on episode three.
three. I thought we were like on three and a half now. I did think it was interesting that in the preview for next week, Lottie does say that she's starting to see visions again. So I think that could be a really interesting piece of next week's episode.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to, obviously, see them. Well, the visions, we saw her see the visions.
Right, but I think
hearing the French, too.
But I think that mostly means we might see, you know, adult Lottie maybe try to get, like, the electric shock therapy again or something to...
Oh. I mean... I understand they did that in the 90s, but I don't know. Do you think she would get that done now?
Oh, no. Kind of crazy.
Did you have any other takeaways from the episode, Jackie Rachel? Did you think this one was scary? How was it? Are you able to?
No, you know what? I watched it last night, and I actually watched it again this morning.
And you don't think it was I thought it was just as scary.
I didn't think it was scary,
I really think that mirror scene... not at all. No. Funny?
No.
Was it more lighthearted?
It was just so ordinary.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right. I'm gonna join our buddy executive Brandon and stop showing up.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
That's true.
You can never stop showing up. Well, you do have other podcasts, I guess. Well, we could talk about that. If anyone wants to reach out to us with any other theories or predictions, questions you have, you can email us, youdontknowjackiepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, You Know Jackie, Jackie Podcast on Twitter. We also have Patreon. That's patreon.com/youdontknowjackie. Give a shout out to the patrons: James L, Ron J, John M, Cassie M, Maria N, Anastasia M, Kelly O, Brenna G, Kate C, John J. Thank you. You can look up You Don't Know Jackie wherever you get your podcasts. We have did a podcast on Squid Game. We have a You Don't Know Jackie view feed that has a ton of shows: Bad Sisters, Severance, Single Drunk Female, After Party, and lots of stuff. If you're a sports fan, Corey's got two things going on currently right now, right? He's got Let's Talk AEW. That's a wrestling-based podcast. You can look up Let's Talk AEW wherever you get your podcast. And the Sports Witness podcast. Also, yeah, for any of our stuff, if you want to rate, review, subscribe, really appreciate it. You know, tell us what you think. Jackie Rachel told me the other day she still doesn't think anyone has made any comments about her, even though people do. She said they were forced
people
comments.
People literally don't. Yeah. They don't think I'm important. They don't think I add anything to the podcast. They hate me.
No,
I'm just
that would
so
be
ordinary.
A comment.
I wish
that
I wasn't
well,
from Jersey.
You are. That's the problem. You're too ordinary. Leave you out completely. We appreciate everyone for listening. Corey, you have anything to add?
Just once again, thank you everybody for your continued support via the Patreon and listening to our episodes. Like I said last week, there are quite a few more podcasts than there were during season one. People talking about this amazing show, and we're still getting very high numbers every week of downloads. And, you know, personal interactions of people who have listened to this and then wound up listening to other things that we've done, either on my end with the Let's Talk AEW, the Sports Witness podcast, or even going back and listening to some episodes of the Workshop Wrestling podcast. So I do appreciate everyone who has taken their time out with so many different choices to listen to. They've gone to us continually as a source to talk about, you know, their favorite show on Showtime.
Yeah, so, but just like to say, we're talking about even some comments we got. Like, I know our tired listener Kelly did say how she liked the Jackie Rachel line about getting losers or getting composted. So, you know, pointing out was funny. Now, on Instagram, Heather was commenting about the van theory was interesting. I don't think it was so interesting, but I'm glad people like took it and looked for, you know, I think that one is gonna go away. But then we had $5 later 10 comment. Y'all really were the first Yellow Jackets podcast by a significant margin. Love you guys. Love Corey. And Jackie Rachel saw that and said, what is this? Love Corey. And it's C-O-R-E-Y spelled correctly.
There you go.
But, yeah, so
I just did the Arsenio Hall gesture on the via Zoom, which, you know, people who weren't from the 90s, mostly doesn't know who Arsenio Hall is. Apparently.
Why did they point out that they love Corey? Look at that. He's getting all the, he gets all the love. He's not, listen, Jackie Rachel's too ordinary for it.
Hope you enjoyed the epi. Bye.
Bye. God, I couldn't get the buy-in. But what was there, like, are you really, like, what happened
I actually tried,
and you
the page
to?
Wouldn't even load. The page wouldn't even freaking load.
But do you
it
think
just
it
kept
wasn't
saying,
the
I will
case
unlock
that
at 10, and it, like, never unlocked.
Oh.
I kept reloading the page, so.
And no one else had
any. I'm screwed. No, nobody else had any luck either.
No, but you're still gonna see it. Think of the positive.
Yeah.
You can't.
Downer over here.
Anyway, this is fun.
See your friend, you'll see him
47
times, but you'll see him.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Think how amazing it's gonna be. You're gonna be upset about it. You haven't seen in how many years, and now you're gonna be upset that you can't get every show you wanted.
Yeah, but Dre and I have one ticket to, like, two shows. How are we going to both go? One of us is going, but both of
no.
us won't be going.
No, but wait, for what? What do you, there's shows you can
for
go
for Brooklyn
to.
And Philly, we each, I have one day. He has one day. We don't have the same days.
The different days?
Yeah.
You can't get
you're going to figure it out. You're going to figure it out. That's all I know. It's going to get
but the whole theory
out.
About 80% of the tickets dropping today, I don't think that was accurate mm-hmm. because it went
well, what about New Orleans?
Oh yeah, we have New Orleans tickets.
Okay, wait, see?
Like one of the coolest places in the world, New Orleans.
Yeah, none
Corey
of our friends
was about
though,
to join you. He
entire...
was like, oh, maybe I'll go to NOLA.
We're the only people in our entire friend group going to that show, so it'll still be fun. You know, I got
yeah.
my little Airbnb
romantic.
All set up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll propose to NOLA.
Maybe it won't be like too big of a production. Or it's like, oh, you know.
It's at this place called Mardi Gras World.
I saw. I did look it up this morning. Oh, December 1st and 2nd.
Why didn't you try to get me tickets?
Because you Well, I was considering it. But then I was like, I don't even know. I just saw like where the list was. I don't know how these things work. You're talking about passes. And then I didn't know if I thought Dre was just going to get them.
Yeah, no. He was in a meeting. Wait,
so he didn't even try?
Is more important. No.
And he said.
He did, but he was just too late to the draw.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter because you tried anyway and it didn't work.
I was in a meeting. I was like, that's when you excuse yourself from the meeting.
Like, I have IBS.
By any means necessary.
I have IBS. I need to go. Well, no, I think it's going to be good.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Keep me in your prayers. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right. All right, bye.
I'm on ticket, one of these ticket things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she can get tickets if she wants. She just has to pay a little bit more, you know? I think it's time to get rid of her from the podcast. She gets nothing, apparently. The fans don't like her. She's causing people to quit left and right. I mean...
Let's see, people, best line from last night's episode, go. How considerate, you know, that. Or then someone was like, how thoughtful, because I don't know exactly what she said, but I know the line that Natalie said. I could have gone strawberry. Ty, you ate her face. I think this stuff is for bisexuals and goths. Ty, you ate her face. Ty, you ate her face another two more times. Have you churned butter before? What are you, Rambo?
I like the what are you Rambo. That's very funny.
It was. It had that book club vibe too.
Yeah.